You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. It's your pet. Health matters. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Welcome to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. I'm Dr. Diane Levitan. Thanks so much for listening. Today is part two of our two-part series during which we discuss the most important subject I can think of that most people misunderstand. And I truly believe it's the most underdiagnosed problem in veterinary medicine today. And I really hope that your pets are all going to benefit from this really serious discussion about pain in our pets. In part one of our series, we discussed how to recognize pain. If you didn't hear part one, please listen to it. It's truly going to enlighten you because what seems so logical to some is really not to others. But when it comes to keeping our pets happy, there's really no room for errors like this. And I think that when you listen to it, you're going to really have your own aha moments where you say, wow, maybe that's why my cat is not jumping up on the windowsill anymore. Maybe that's why she's not grooming. Or maybe that's why my dog's gait is funny, even though he doesn't seem to be limping. And also, maybe that mood change isn't really just age. Maybe he's really uncomfortable. So please listen to part one. It's so important, and it will really help us as you go through part two, which is going to be right now. So now that we've learned to recognize pain, we need to know what the heck can we do about it, and should we do anything about it? And so we're going to discuss a lot of different methods of addressing discomfort, whether it's medication, physical therapy, homeopathy, laser treatment, oxygen therapy with hyperbarics, and a lot more. And the reason is because we have a really special guest who's incredibly educated and really has dedicated her whole life and her career to pain management in pets, which is almost unheard of 10 years ago. And so I'm so delighted that she's agreed to be with us today and with our last episode. We have Dr. Robin Downing, and she is incredibly educated, and she's certified in 7 areas of specialized practice. At least she's probably getting ready to do some more. And she's a diplomate of the American Academy of Pain Management. She is a certified veterinary pain practitioner, a certified veterinary acupuncturist, a certified Tuna practitioner, certified in canine medical massage, certified canine rehabilitation practitioner, certified in animal chiropractic, and certified pain educator. I can't even breathe after saying all those things. And she's received countless accolades for her contributions to veterinary medicine and for her many accomplishments, which is not hard to imagine. And she's also founded the Downing Center for Animal Pain Management in Windsor, Colorado. I just don't even know where to go. She's given us so much wonderful information on her first episode, and now she's going to really help us tremendously in what we can actually do about these things. We're going to take a break right now, but as soon as we get back, we're going to hear from Dr. Downing of the Downing Center for Animal Pain Management, joining us from Windsor, Colorado, on what we can do to alleviate pain in our pets.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Petco, where the pets go. Petco, where the pets go.
Pet Life Radio has tail wagging, fur flying, fabulous deals for our listeners from Petco. Get $6 off your order of $60 or more and up to 40% off the entire Petco site.
That's right.
But that's not all.
Because you're a Pet Life Radio listener, you'll also get free shipping on your order of $49 or more. $6 off, up to 40% off,
and free shipping
from Pet Life Radio and Petco. To get these awesome deals, go to PetcoDeals.com. That's PetcoDeals.com.
Petco, where the pets go.
I'm not much of a reader, but I do wish I were more well-read.
There are so many great books coming out. I wish I could find a way to keep up.
Audible.com makes it easy to stay well-informed and catch up on your reading simply by listening. Audiobooks from Audible turn downtime into uptime. You'll be more productive and become well-read.
Now I'm able to catch up on all the great books I've been wanting to read.
With Audible, I feel smarter.
Pet Life Radio listeners, try Audible.com now and get your first 30 days of Audible Listener Gold Membership plan free. And get a free audiobook. Choose from over 100,000 titles. To get this great deal, go to audibledeals.com. That's audibledeals.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. With us now is Dr. Robin Downing, a renowned specialist in pain management in veterinary patients. Thanks again for joining us for this incredibly important part two of our two-part series. We have so much to learn. So for those of you who didn't listen to part one of our show, Dr. Downing, can you explain to us what a certified pain educator is?
Dr. Diane, thank you so much for having me join you today, and I'm delighted to let you know what a certified pain educator is. So CPE, Certified Pain Educator, is actually a credential through the American Society of Pain Educators, and this is a human pain management organization that's dedicated to improving pain management through education and the training of healthcare professionals who can then in turn educate their clinical peers, their patients, their families, caregivers on how to relieve pain safely. And my goal as a veterinarian in pursuing the certified pain educator credential was to translate what I learned in preparing for that CPE to what I do as a veterinary pain expert, to what I do in my exam room. And really, it's all about understanding that when we want to treat pain, we want to recognize pain, we want to alleviate pain and banish pain from our pets, education is really at the very heart of it.
That's so great. So now you're a specialist in pain management. Are most vets qualified to manage pain? Seems like you have so many extra letters after your name, and maybe we should be referring more to specialists. Maybe you can enlighten me on that.
Well, honestly, in answer to the question, are most veterinarians qualified to relieve pain? The answer is absolutely, they are. The primary care provider is definitely fully qualified to manage pain. Now, is every primary care provider and every veterinarian already equipped to do the best job possible managing pain? Well, there's where we have some gaps in our knowledge. As you know, because you are a veterinarian, as am I, our body of knowledge is ever-evolving. I've been in practice now 26 years, and in the era of pain and pain management, I've witnessed really an explosive, revolutionary, and transformative change. Just 20 years or so ago, we veterinarians were taught that some pain was good. Like, for instance, pain after surgery. We don't want our patient having all their pain relief because they might move around and hurt themselves. Or for a chronic pain patient, you know, decreased activity is a good thing because then they're not going to overuse their osteoarthritic joints. And, of course, now we understand that's completely bogus. So the cool thing is that all veterinarians now have access to medications for pain. Where we have a gap or a lag is really in the knowledge of how best to use those tools. Now, there's good news. There's a silver lining here. The good news is that most of the new and recent graduates from veterinary colleges are much better educated about pain. Even if they don't know how to put all the pieces together, they at least have a good foundational understanding. Another good thing is that there's lots and lots and lots of continuing education, and this is postgraduate education for graduate practicing veterinarians, that's available about pain and pain management in media that are very easy to access and easy to digest. We've got webinars, we've got audio seminars, we've got articles in journals, and then we have regional and national meetings. And there's more and more resources available. There are two key documents that I'd like to make your listeners aware of. These are open documents, which means that they can go to their friend Mr. Google and look for these documents, download them and print them. They're quite understandable for pet owners and pet lovers to read and really be able to understand. They also are great resources for pet owners and pet lovers to take to the veterinarian to make sure that the veterinary practice is savvy about them. The first document is the AAHA, that stands for the American Animal Hospital Association, /AAFP, American Association of Feline Practitioners, Pain Management Guidelines for Dogs and Cats. And this is the first document of its kind in our literature that truly guides therapy for pets in pain. And if you just Google pain management guidelines, dogs and cats, boom, this is the first hit. The second document I want to make your listeners aware of is a document that is called the ISFM for the International Society of Feline Medicine and AAFP, again, the American Association of Feline Practitioners, consensus guidelines for long-term use of NSAIDs in cats. NSAIDs stands for non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, a very important part of the pain management treatment protocol. And once again, if you talk to your friend Mr. Google and just type in consensus guidelines, NSAIDs, CAPS, boom, this is the first hit. And these are great resources for us as veterinarians to utilize to really begin to craft our approach to our painful patients.
Wow, well, that's really, really helpful. What about stuff that we could talk about that we're going to really encounter in the exam room when a veterinarian wants to recommend pain management? For instance, what type of medications are there, and what else is there besides medication? Where can we go? So let's start with medications, because I think that's the thing that a veterinarian is going to reach for first. At least most veterinarians may not be the right thing to reach for first, but certainly something that we would like to reach for.
Well, and I would agree with you that we do tend to reach for medication first, and I would actually argue the point that we need to reach for medication first, and I'll explain that point in just a moment. But before I actually articulate comments about specific meds, I want to make a sidebar comment, because sometimes I encounter this question in my exam room or on an emergency call after hours, where I'll have a client who will ask me, well, I think my dog is painful, or I think my cat is painful. Is there something I can do here at home?
Right.
Is there something I can give them? And I just want to make sure I go on the record to say to all of your listeners, please, please, please never give any human medications to your pets. Never, 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 unless you are giving that medication under the specific guidance of your veterinarian. Because we reach for human medications all the time.
Right.
But we don't reach for the medications that most people have in their medicine cabinet. And there are things that we teach our pet owners to do at home for painful pets, but there's a couple of things we've got to have in place first. First, we have to have a diagnosis. Second, we have to have a more comprehensive pain plan in mind. And third, we need to have guidance from the veterinarian about what's really best for the pet. An example I'll use is that I teach a lot of massage techniques for my clients to use at home to help their cats and their dogs be comfortable. But if we're applying massage techniques at home in a patient who is painful, we can actually make that animal more painful, and we can actually even make it dangerous to us, because we can hurt them in a way that they would actually take it out on us. And they wouldn't mean it, but we would be asking for a problem. So that's something to remember.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. So tell us about a pain plan.
Okay, so when it comes to making a pain plan, if you will, that really a core competency, a key understanding, is that there's no magic bullet. And this is something that it's a bit of a challenge for us as veterinarians to help educate our pet-loving clients that we don't have a magic bullet in our cupboard that we're going to reach for, and it's going to be a single medication that's going to take care of all the pain, and that one medication alone is going to be the one right answer.
Really, I can vouch for that, because every morning I take Advil and every day I still have a painful back. So what I would like to know is, how do I make the pain go away permanently, not just treat it with Advil, right?
Well, and sometimes we can't make the pain go away permanently without the help of a medication in a human case like Advil. But there's more than one way to approach this piece. The thing that's really interesting about pain is, as our understanding of pain has expanded, we understand that we really cannot get the best outcome with what's called monotherapy, where we use a single medication, a single drug, and we expect that all of our problems will be solved. We really know now that we must manage pain from what's called a multimodal perspective. And I say this first out of the gate because I want your listeners to understand that as they're working with the veterinarian and the veterinarian is saying, we need a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug to take care of inflammation, but we need a medication like gabapentin to target the nervous system, and we need to focus on nutrition because we know that we have now good scientific evidence that we can reduce the pain from osteoarthritis by the nutrition we choose, that really the veterinarian's not sort of making that up, that we're doing three different things all at once. We're actually doing what's called targeted therapy to get the best outcome, where we're targeting the body in very specific ways. The tools we use to target the body would be medications, nutrition, supplements, exercise. Kind of blows your mind to think about exercising your cat, but in fact, we can perform therapeutic exercise. We've got environmental modification, changes in the household to make it more comfortable for animals that are having pain experiences, and then physical medicine, which will include things like acupuncture, medical massage, physical therapy, the application of an oxygen-enriched environment under pressure, that's the hyperbaric oxygen therapy, and things like stem cells to actually help joints regenerate cartilage. In other words, we're building a pain management pyramid.
This is a perfect place to take a break. And I'm so excited. I wish we had hours more to discuss this, but we're only going to take a short break and come back and discuss each of these modalities in more detail. So we'll be right back with Dr. Robin Downing, a pain specialist for animals, talking about the multimodal approach to pain. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Every pet is unique. Maybe they're gray in the muzzle, yet young at heart. Maybe they're growing out of the puppy stage and into their paws and ears. Or maybe they're just trying to maintain a more girlish figure. At PetSmart, we have the right food for your pet at a great value for you. PetSmart. Be better together.
Go to PetSmartDeal.com and save up to 30% on pawsome gifts for the pets and pet people in your life. Toys, collars, leashes, PetSmart gift cards, treats, and more. Go to PetSmartDeal.com today. PetSmartDeal.com.
I don't make any decisions about who to hire without going to Angie's List first.
You'll find reviews on home repair to healthcare written by people just like you.
With Angie's List, I know who to call, and I know the results will be fantastic.
Angie's List, that you can trust.
Go to AngiesList.com/best and get 25% off any subscription. That's AngiesList.com/best, B-E-S-T.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/doctor, D-O-C-T-O-R, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
Having a rough day? Longing for the dog days of summer? Think your fun furry friend lives a dog's life? Well, find out everything you're begging to know as Pet Life Radio presents It's a Doggy Dog World with pet expert and award-winning author Liz Palaika. Every dog has his day, and you'll find out how to make your dog's day fun and rewarding every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
We're back and we're glad you waited because we're learning about one of the most important things owners can learn, I believe. Last episode, we talked about how to recognize pain in our pets. And in this episode, we're learning what to do about it. It's not just a simple fix sometimes. Dr. Robin Downing is a specialist in pain and a diplomat of the American Academy of Pain Management. And now she's talking to us about a multimodal approach to relieving pain in our pets. And she's got a lot of great ways that we can do that. So we're just, without further ado, we're just going to jump right back into all the different modalities that we can use and how we can use them together. Dr. Downing?
Thank you, Dr. Diane. Talk about managing pain by creating this visual concept of building a pain management pyramid where we create a foundation of things that will always be present and never go away, and then we add layers and layers and layers on top of that. Our first and foremost goal in creating a pain management plan that's effective is to break the pain cycle. And once we break that pain cycle, then we want to focus on restoring and improving function. And the reason that those two pieces are intimately related is that if we try to restore function by doing physical things to the body while the pain is still present, it's counterproductive. First of all, it allows the pet to suffer unnecessarily, but the tissue is going to be really objecting to whatever it is we're doing. But if we break the pain cycle and then we don't focus on improving function, we're only halfway to the end zone, if you will. By breaking the pain and then restoring function, improved function actually helps control pain. It's a real irony, but it is so true. So how do we break that pain cycle? Well, because pain is complex, we need to pursue very specific targets as we build our pain management pyramid. We talked, you alluded to the NSAIDs, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. This is really a drug category that is the cornerstone for chronic pain, specifically chronic pain from inflammatory conditions like osteoarthritis. We also use non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs postoperatively to control the pain and inflammation from a surgery or post-trauma if we have a sprain or strain or a fracture, for instance. NSAIDs are a cornerstone for humans as well. You and I can take Aleve or ibuprofen. We can't use those drugs in dogs and cats. They have their own non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. These are great, great tools for us to use. It's important for us to recognize that they are not enough on their own to manage all of the complexities of chronic pain in our pets. And we do have safety concerns. So it's really important for your listeners to understand that when the veterinarian says, I'd like to use an NSAID or a non-steroidal in your dog or in your cat, before I can do so safely, I need to do a little bit of blood work just to make sure that we know what our baseline is. That veterinarian's not blowing smoke. They're doing the right thing because these are medications that over time can cause complications with the gastrointestinal tract.
So you're talking about things like carprofen or Rimadyl or Medicam, Etagesic.
Exactly. So I was trying really hard not to be too branded, but dogs
well,
and cats
I want
do
people
have
to recognize that.
Recognize
the
names?
That, yeah, that okay. These are the things that their veterinarian may want to prescribe and certainly want them to recognize the word. So they know, oh, this is Rimadyl. I better get blood tests done first. And that is true. We do need blood tests before Rimadyl or Medicam and other things like that, right?
So in order to be pretty nonpartisan, the list of the medications with which your clients will become familiar will be drugs like Rimadyl, by brand Rimadyl, Deramax, Medicam, Previcox. These are the major contributors in the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug category. In cats, there is a new non-steroidal that is going to be available here in the United States soon called Onsior, O-N-S-I-O-R, and it's another of the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. So when your veterinarian actually talks about carprofen, which is the generic name for Rimadyl, or Deramax, or Meloxicam, which is the generic name for Medicam, and they say we really need to lay a foundation with a little bit of blood work before we start the meds. Boy, that is a really important piece. The other thing is, I want to make sure your listeners understand that just because there are safety concerns, meaning we have to pay attention to how our patients respond to these medications and how well they tolerate them, just because we're being careful doesn't mean that this is like putting a loaded gun to our forehead and pulling the trigger. These are medications that are life-saving for animals that are in the chronic pain of an inflammation of osteoarthritis. So it isn't that we should avoid them or run away from them. It's that when we embrace them, we understand how to use this tool as safely as we possibly can. And that's
That is really important. So what else is on that pyramid as far as controlling the chronic pain?
So my second go-to drug for controlling chronic pain, in our first conversation, I talked about chronic maladaptive pain, where the nervous system itself has now created a state of perpetual pain or pain as disease. Second drug that I reach for most commonly is a medication called gabapentin. And this is a medication that actually is a cornerstone for chronic maladaptive pain in the human world of pain management. It's a medication that we are learning more about in veterinary medicine, and there are some studies underway now to give us more solid data about how best to utilize this medication. But in my pain management referral practice, what I know that I am doing with gabapentin is targeting the spinal cord, actually targeting the nervous system in a very exquisitely specific place to help normalize how the nervous system conducts pain signals from the outside of the body, from the limbs and from the torso, up the spinal cord into the brain. It can be used long-term. Really, the nice thing about gabapentin is that it does not have the same potential for adverse effects on the organs, like the kidneys, like the liver. And really, sedation is the side effect that we watch for. And if we find sedation, our pets get kind of stoned. We don't abandon the medication. We simply back off our dose and use a lower dose. In humans who receive gabapentin, we get a little warning sheet that says, please do not drive or operate heavy machinery for 2 weeks until you know how this medication will affect you. And what I tell my clients is, I don't want the dog driving the jet ski for at least 2 weeks. There are other medications that we can reach for, and a couple that pet owners might hear about would be things like a fentanyl patch. This is fentanyl is a narcotic, and in humans, it can be applied on a patch on our skin and then absorbed slowly over time. And there are still some veterinarians reaching for fentanyl patches. What I try to alert pet owners to is the fact that we now have good data that lets us know that dog skin and cat skin is different than human skin. And the problem that we have with fentanyl patches is that we really cannot know. We know now that these are not necessarily a very good choice for dogs and cats. We get poor or inconsistent absorption. And this can lead us to a false sense of security that the pet is actually comfortable when, in fact, they're not. Right. But we also have safety issues because if a human, either a human being, an adult who should know better, or a child should peel that fentanyl patch off the animal and ingest it, they can actually have an overdose and die from that narcotic overdose. So this is a strategy that I try to guide my colleagues maybe away from. Now, there are one of the medicines that we use a lot in dogs and cats for the chronic pain of osteoarthritis is a medication called Adequan, which is, it's a mouthful, get ready, polysulfated glycosamine and glycans. I would just as rather say Adequan. This is a medication that's given by injection under the skin. This is an extra label use. So for you listeners out there, when veterinarians talk about extra label, it means that we're using a medication in a way that we know is safe, but it's not on the package insert to use it this way. But here's what we are knowing more and more about Adequan. Adequan can actually help us heal the cartilage that remains in joints that have osteoarthritis. And if we heal the cartilage, we decrease inflammation. And if we decrease inflammation, we decrease pain. And if we decrease pain, we can reduce our reliance on other medications. So we teach our clients how to use Adequan by injection under the skin, not as often as we have to give insulin. So instead of twice a day, it's twice a week for a month, once a week for a month. And then we get into a maintenance routine of about twice a month. And this actually lets us literally feed the joints with the building blocks of cartilage to help that animal get more comfortable and then remain comfortable and more functional as they continue down their life path.
That's awesome. So what about other things besides medications?
I'm so excited you asked me about that. So now we know that we have good science that lets us understand we have a couple of nutritional formulations. These are complete and balanced rations for dogs and cats that actually have been demonstrated in clinical studies to help reduce the pain and inflammation from osteoarthritis. So we should be using those nutritional profiles, and your veterinarian can help you, pet owners, understand Is this a good choice for your individual animal? We also have a supplement called microlactin. This is a milk protein extracted from the milk of hyperimmunized cows that we know mimics the effects of the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, but doesn't have the side effects of the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. So we can actually put microlactin in place of an NSAID that we can then remove or reduce our reliance on the NSAID. We have acupuncture, which modulates the nervous system and helps us with the transmission of pain signals. We know that we have therapeutic exercise. Therapeutic exercise always scares people, makes it think that's something really sexy and exciting. But most people don't know that sitting and then standing for your dog mimics the effects of crunches in humans. So we can actually strengthen their core. We can work on specific muscle groups. Medical massage, we can teach massage techniques in the exam room to help pet owners help their animals stay comfortable. Everybody knows how great a massage feels, and this is true for pets as well. And then environmental modification is one that I think gets overlooked so much, both by veterinarians and by pet owners. So what do I mean by environmental modification? Okay, this is really simple stuff. Dogs and cats should not eat and drink on the floor. If you've ever tweaked your back and then you have to bend over and tie your shoes, you know it hurts. So with a dog or a cat who has back pain from osteoarthritis, every time they have to reach to the floor to eat or drink, it's like bending over to tie their shoes. And it doesn't feel good. So raising the food and water dishes to the height of the elbow, covering slick floor surfaces, preventing them having access to stairs when no one's home, getting a ramp to get in and out of a vehicle. These are simple, they don't cost very much money, can really make an enormous difference in a pet's life and world.
Oh man, I'm just realizing how mean I feel that my dog's bowl is on the floor when I know his back hurts. So thank you from Fargo. He's getting his bowls elevated today. And yes, I've been a veterinarian for 21 years and did not think of that. So thank you. I want to just run back quickly because you were talking about nutritional supplements. Microlactin is one I never heard of either, but what is your favorite nutritional supplements? There's so many choices for veterinarians. I know I'm not asking you to endorse a particular product, but I kind of am because I'd like to know what you use and what the important components are to you.
Well, this is a great question, Dr. Diane, and I really appreciate you asking this because this is a multi-billion-dollar industry, and what I want your listeners to understand is that it's a very loosely regulated industry, and so unfortunately, it's easy to be seduced by marketing materials into thinking that this, whatever this is the next greatest thing. So I'm going to caution your listeners to really ask their veterinarians to look at the science and the research because we're finally getting some controlled studies, some scientific evidence to support the use of certain supplements. I mentioned microlactin. It actually is produced by a company called VPL, and the brand is Duralactin. And there is good science for both cats and dogs with osteoarthritis that microlactin or Duralactin can reduce the pain and inflammation of osteoarthritis. And these animals actually have been demonstrated to move better and with a more normal gait. Another piece we know is that glucosamine as a supplement has very variable results, but we do have good evidence that low molecular weight chondroitin actually has been shown to benefit a large number of dogs and cats. Low molecular weight chondroitin is actually presented in the marketplace under the brand either Cozaquin or Dazaquin from the Nutramax company. And Dazaquin has the additional benefit of a compound called ASU. ASU stands for avocado and soybean unsaponifiable. Again, I'd rather say ASU. It's easier. But ASU has been demonstrated to, again, in a population of animals with osteoarthritis symptoms, to help relieve those symptoms. So Cozaquin, Dazaquin, Duralactin, these are three supplements that we utilize in our practice on a large level. A third supplement that I really, moving away from the chondroitin and glucosamine combination, third supplement that we have good science to support is the use of omega-3 fatty acids, specifically EPA. And when we looked for an EPA to use in our patients, we looked for companies that utilized pharmaceutical standards for the production of their products. This may sound a little convoluted to your listeners, but I really want to make sure that I'm clear that you can slap a label on a capsule that has fish oil in it and call it fish oil and say on the label there are 500 milligrams of fish oil. That tells you nothing. What we need to know are how many milligrams of EPA are in our dose. And there are several companies who really do a good job. One is the company called Nordic Naturals. They make a product called Omega-3 PET. Another company that does a good job is the Nutramax company They have a product called Wellactin, which is, again, created under pharmaceutical standards. And then there is a company called Acenta Animal Essentials, and this is a company in upstate New York that produces, again, a fish oil product under pharmaceutical standards in a form that is actually biologically available to our cats and dogs. And so those three companies are very reputable sources for EPA-containing, EPA-rich products. And again, it's really about helping pet owners and veterinarians alike understand that we have to follow the science. We have an obligation to follow the science and not just reach for the next greatest thing with the really sexy advertising.
Oh my gosh, we have learned so much today. We only have about a minute left, but is there anything else you'd like to leave us with? I know we didn't get to touch on everything.
Can I talk about cats? I love cats.
Please talk about cats.
My personal record was 17 of my own between my house and my clinic. And no, I'm not a collector. These were all 17 cats that, like, enjoyed individual attention. And the youngest one died at 17, and the oldest one died at 22. So
Wow. We're
down to we're having cutbacks in our company. So we're hoping that we're going to hold our population of cats now to the 7 that we have right now. But cats with pain, really a conundrum. We do have the consensus guidelines for long-term use of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs in cats, but I will tell you that in my cats, in my practice, in my pain practice, I actually don't have any one of them on non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs at the moment because I rely instead on gabapentin, I rely on Adequan, I rely on microlactin. That's my trifecta for my osteoarthritis cats. And then beyond medication, acupuncture, chiropractic, controlled exercise, and physical therapy, and yes, it's true, cats will go in to my underwater treadmill and work out in the water. It's not an alien thing for them. We can teach cats to do that and to enjoy it. I'm not sure that they love it the way my Labrador Retriever patients do, but they do understand, cats do understand when we make them feel better that we're there to help them. They do learn that this makes them feel better.
Wow. I am just breathless. There's so much that we've learned today, and I wish we had more time, but we don't. And I just can't thank you enough for how much you've educated me. I can only imagine how much you've educated all of our listeners. It's the most important and most underdiagnosed problem in veterinary medicine is pain. And Dr. Downing has really enlightened us not only how to recognize it, but also how to treat it. So thank you so very, very much, guys. There's so much information and more information that if you want to go to Dr. Downing's website, downingcenter.com, or to Pet Life Radio and see her bio, we will definitely put up the different websites she recommended that we all visit. Please do so. I also want to thank our talented producer, Mark Winter, who makes this show possible for all of us. Thank you very much, Mark. You can learn more about Dr. Downing again at her website, downingcenter.com. And if you have questions for her or for me, Dr. Diane Levitan, just go to petliferadio.com. Click on the Pet Doctor. Also, if you have any questions, comments, or ideas for a show, please email us at thepetdoctor@petliferadio.com. It's been my pleasure and my honor to talk about pain in pets today. I hope you hear from me again soon.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.